Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Daniel, Perek Zayin. Our last chapter took place during the time of Daryavash the Mede, and this chapter takes us back to the Babylonian king Belshazzar, who preceded Daryavash, and who we already met in Perek He. The Pasuk states, "In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream, and the visions of his mind while asleep on his bed. Then he wrote the dream and said the beginnings of the matters." Malvim addresses this chronological anomaly and explains that our perek begins the second half of Sefer Daniel. The first half of the Sefer is an account of the events that occurred during Daniel's life. The second half consists of his prophecies. It was during the short reign of Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, that Hashem chose to reveal to Daniel how quickly the Babylonian rule would end and a glimpse into the future kingdoms to come. In this perek, Daniel sees a dream with similar imagery to the one Nebuchadnezzar dreamed in Perek Bet, which Daniel had to both describe and interpret in order to save his own life. Malvim explains that this is why the verse says, "Ktav resh milin amar," he said the beginnings of the matters, since we have already been introduced to the notion of four kingdoms. The vision begins with the winds stirring up the great sea as four highly divergent beasts emerge from the water. Pasuk Dalet describes the first beast, a lion. The first one was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle, until its wings were plucked and it was taken from the earth, and it stood on feet like a man, and the heart of a mortal was given it. According to Rashi, the lion represented Bavel, the ruler at the time of the dream, based on Yirmiyahu's description of this kingdom. He quotes from Yirmiyahu Perek Dalet Pasuk Zayin, "A lion has come up from its thicket," and also from Yirmiyahu Mem, Chetmem, "Like an eagle he shall soar." Malvim interprets the comparison to standing like a man to represent the Babylonian kingdom on its last legs literally. It no longer stood on all four legs like a lion. Pasuk He describes the second beast. "And behold, another second beast resembling a bear, and it stood to one side, and there were three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and so did they say to it, 'Get up, eat much meat.'" Rashi explains that this beast is a bear because Persia will follow Babylon. He says that Persians eat and drink like a bear and are enwrapped in flesh like a bear. He says the bear stood to one side to represent the 1 year that Daryavash from Mede reigned before Persia. Rashi then cites the sages as describing the three bones as representing three provinces that were constantly rebelling. However, Rashi prefers to see them as a stand-in for the three Persian kings of that era, Koresh, Achashverosh, and Daryavash, the Persian king, who allowed for the completion of the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Vav describes the third beast. "After this, I saw and behold another one, like a leopard, and it had four wings of a bird on its back, and the beast had four heads, and dominion was given it." Malvim observes that a leopard is related to a lion, but more arrogant, just like Alexander of Macedon was the most arrogant of the kings. Rashi quotes the historian Yosef ben Gurion, who says that the four wings and four heads represent the four leaders who took over after Alexander the Great died. The third was Antiochus of Hanukkah fame, who is likened to a leopard because his enactments were spotty. Separate from the other three, Daniel had a vision of a fourth beast, stranger than them all. He describes it in Pasuk Zayin and Chet. "After this, I saw in the visions of the night, and behold, a fourth beast, awesome and dreadful and exceedingly strong, and it had huge iron teeth. It ate and crushed and trampled the rest with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before me, and it had 10 horns. I looked at these horns, and behold, another small horn came up among them, and three of the first horns were plucked out before it, and behold, eyes like human eyes were on this horn, and a mouth speaking arrogantly." Rashi explains this beast represents Rome and the 10 kings who would precede Vespasian. The mouth speaking arrogantly is Titus, who the Gemara describes as entering into the Beit HaMikdash with brazenness. Malbim explains that Roman rule was unique from all the others in their power, length, and cruelty. Malbim quotes Abarbanel, who says that the small horn that emerges from the 10 is the Pope, who is associated with Rome, and began small under the rule of the Caesars until the time of Constantine, when he legitimized the church and gave the Pope at the time the crown of Caesar and placed him as a ruler over Italy. Regarding the three horns that were plucked from it, Malvim explains that this is very difficult to interpret. He says it could be three wise kings who broke from the church, or it could be Islam, which he asserts is included within the Roman exile. He says it is even possible to interpret the small horn to symbolize Muhammad, who also started small and then spread Islam to the world. Daniel now describes a new element to his dream in Pasuk Tet. I was looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days sat. His raiment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was like clean wool. His throne was sparks of fire, its wheels were a burning fire. Rashi explains that Hashem set up two thrones of judgment, one for judgment for the nations of the world, and one for charity for Israel. With the ensuing verdict, the final beast is utterly destroyed. As for the first three, Pasuk Yud Bet tells us their dominion was removed, and they were given an extension of life until a set time. Rashi explains Hashem gave them the time to live until a set day in the future, the wars of Gog and Magog. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, a man approaches Hashem from the clouds of heaven. Rashi tells us this is Mashiach. Malbim notes the differences between him and the beasts. The beasts come from below, whereas Mashiach emerges from the heavens. The vision ends with Hashem giving the Mashiach figure dominion over everyone and everything. The dream, however, continues as Daniel approaches one of the angels serving Hashem and asks him for interpretations of the dream. The angel explains, in accordance with all we have said above, that the four beasts represent the four kingdoms and exiles of the Jewish people, but in the end, Israel will take the kingdom from the fourth beast. One detail in the angel's interpretation stands out, and his confounded commentaries over the millennia continuing through today. In Pasuk Chaf Hei, the angel seems to give Daniel, albeit in coded language, a definitive end date to the current galut. And he will speak words against the Most High, and he will oppress the High Holy Ones, and he will think to change the times and the law, and they will be delivered into his hand until a time, two times, and half a time. The reference to changing the times and the laws could refer to Christianity, which institutionalized the Sabbath as Sunday and established their own holidays based on a purely solar calendar. Malbim suggests it refers to Islam, which changed the calendar to a lunar system. As to how to calculate a time, two times, and half a time, many commentators, most notably Sa'adja Gaon, Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Ramban, Abarbanel, and Malbim, have attempted to give an exact year for this predicted redemption, ending several years after each rabbi's personal era, with the exception of Abarbanel, who establishes the date within his lifetime, which he explains did not occur owing to our sins. While each rabbi might have keyed into a potential time for redemption through divine inspiration, alas, all their endpoints have long passed, and we find ourselves still in Galut. May we all experience the ultimate redemption speedily in our days. Thank you for studying together Lilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezel Rachel Bat Aryeh, Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.